our call to worship today. We're going to simply talk about encouraging one another. We've had a very hard week. And I thought, you know, I've talked a lot in the last 5.5 years about encouraging. So let's do that today. Let's just encourage one another. But the text is 1 Thessalonians 5:11. And it says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. I hope that the text is true, that you are, in fact, encouraging one another. Let's pray. Thank you so much for your work in our lives, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with the Minshaw family as they have lost, Ray has lost his brother yesterday. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with the Not Botany family. Lord, encourage them and give them peace in the midst of their storm. We just pray that you'll be with our time today together, that you will help us to worship you in spirit and truth, that your name will be lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we talk today, I'm simply going to be going through some scriptures, not only that have helped me, but that I've used to help other people in the last 5.5 years. Probably longer than that, but certainly in the last 5.5 years. And so, sermon, yes, more of an encouragement to grab a hold of these scripture verses that I'm giving you today, and probably maybe you can take your bulletin home and use them to help other people, because every scripture we're using today is to help encourage us right from God's Word. 1 Thessalonians is what we use for our call to worship, and I want to expand that just a little bit. It's not in your notes. I added it late yesterday afternoon. But 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 8 through 11, and we read 11 for you already. It says, but since we belong to the day. What day is that talking about? Does anybody know? Just talked about it like a week or two ago. The day to come, the day that we, if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the day that we get to rejoice, the day of His coming, the day that we get grabbed by Him and get taken to heaven. What a glorious day that's going to be. We are believers in Jesus Christ. Since we belong to that day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and a hope of salvation and helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, going to hell, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, God would rather have us come to know Him. I've heard so many people say, God, a loving God would never send anybody to hell. And I agree with that statement 100%. But we have it mixed up, my friends. Jesus loves us so much that He came as an itty-bitty baby and He lived His life and then He dying on the cross because He loves us. And when we can't accept that, who's sending who to hell? We need to make a decision to follow Him. Verse 10, He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, whether we have fallen asleep here on earth, and whether we have passed away or we're still living, we may live together with Him. Therefore, verse 11, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as in fact you are doing. Yeah. I have a short story for you from my Nelson Book of Illustration. In the Guidepost magazine, Donald Varan of Oceanside, California, told of his serving as a young hospital corpsman in the invasion of Guam during the World War II. Suddenly, his boat came to a grinding halt, and they hit a coral reef, and the commanding officer ordered everyone off ship. Donald jumped into the ocean and sank like a rock. his carbine rifle, medical pack, canteen, and boots, dragged him down. He forced himself to the surface, grasping for air, only to sink again. He tried to pull off his boots, but the effort exhausted him, and he suddenly realized he wasn't going to make it. Then he saw a man thrashing in the water next to him, and in desperation, he clutched onto him. That proved enough to hold him up and get him to the reef, where he was picked up by a rescue boat. But Donald felt so guilty about grabbing and drowning the man to save himself that he never told anybody what happened. About 6 months later, on shore, leaving San Francisco, he stopped in a restaurant, and a sailor in uniform waved him over to sit with him. And as he did, he announced to his friends, "This is my friend. He saved me. This is my friend. He saved me." "What are you talking about?" asked Donald. "Don't you remember?" said the man. We were in the water together in Guam. You grabbed me, and I was going down, and you held me up. We need each other, whether you know it or not. You rub shoulders with somebody every day. You don't know that person. Encourage that person. Grab onto them. Don't let them sink. We all suffer many trials each and every day. Some worse than others, some death. Scott's putting together the slideshow for Wednesday for the going away farewell celebration, farewell, whatever you want to call it. And he asked me for some of the details, how many weddings, how many funerals I've done, all that kind of stuff. So I looked through my files, and in the last 5.5 years, done 44 funerals. And he called me up, and he said, "Did you write that right?" I said, "Yeah, I did. 44. A lot of deaths in Winter, South Dakota. A lot of encouragement is needed. Some of you have gone through health issues. Eula. Health issues. Discouraging times. Financial difficulties. Losing of jobs. All kinds of situations in our life. Some of us are losing hair. Disappointing, huh? Listen to 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. In all of this, talking about us as believers in Jesus Christ, in all of this you greatly rejoice, although now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief of all kinds. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, honor when Christ Jesus is revealed. Tell me something. How is gold refined? Jonathan? Fire. Hot fire. In a big cauldron. Heats it up. It becomes liquid. And all of the impurities come to the top, and they scrape off the top, and what's left is pure gold. Gold pure enough to make jewelry with, and all kinds of really cool stuff. I have a really, really cool video for you. Before I go any farther, we need to show that.
Fresh lemons. I think it's one of God's better creations. You know? I mean, there's nothing like a fresh lemon. Lemons on their own aren't really good. But don't give up on the potential these little babies have, because the truth is, there's nothing like fresh-squeezed lemonade. I mean, it's a hot summer day, you come inside, somebody's poured you some fresh-squeezed lemonade, it's great, but it's a pain to make. I mean, let's be real, you gotta cut the lemons, you gotta squeeze them, you gotta pour the water, you gotta put the sugar in, you gotta stir it around, you gotta... You know what, when I describe it, it doesn't really sound like that much work, but it really is once you start doing it. That's why most people don't make fresh-squeezed lemonade. I know I don't. I mean, if I want lemonade, I get it out of a can. Three scoops, some cold water, and you're good to go. But it's not as good as the real stuff, you know? The real stuff, the way God intended lemonade to taste. In fact, you know what? Let's make some lemonade right here. I don't care if it's a lot of work. You got to cut your lemons. Squeeze them into here. Oh, man. Ooh. I got a paper cut. Citrus, not so good on the open wound. You may want to wear goggles. I don't know. Oh, it's really burning. Okay, that's it? Dude, I can't squeeze all of these. Hand squeezing is really overrated. You might want to get yourself a juicer. And then you hand cut it, and then just right there on the juicer, and yeah, that's a lot easier. You know, we've all heard the saying, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. And it's easier to smile about that saying or to tell somebody else that they should do that than to actually do it yourself, because it takes work. But that's actually a good philosophy in life. In fact, it's biblical. I mean, you look through, the whole Bible is filled with people who turn their defeats into victories. They turn their trials into triumphs. Instead of being victims, they became victors. Consider James chapter 1. That whole chapter is about turning lemons into lemonade. In a sense, James says that the trials and the temptations in life are lemons. And if we are overcome by our trials or we give in to our temptations, then we'll end up having a sour life that leaves a bitter taste in our mouth. But James goes on to say that we don't have to do that. We can be victorious. We can be just like the great people of the Bible. I mean, we can turn our lemons into lemonade. That's what the Bible says. All right. Okay, you know what? The Bible doesn't really even have the word lemons in it. I looked it up. But still, it works. I mean, think about this. Moses, he turned his staff into a snake. Jesus turned water into wine. God himself took dirt and made humans. That's pretty amazing. I think it's easy enough to say that God is interested in taking things that seem useless and making something great out of them. And we have that same potential. The question is this. You can either let your lemons in life, your trials and your triumphs overcome you, or you can make lemonade. As for me, I'm interested in some lemonade. It's just like what Grandma made. Cheers. I think I forgot the sugar.
Thank you, Nathan. You're a gentleman and scholar. Perfect timing, by the way, before it really got rolling. First Peter chapter 1, 6 through 7. By the way, I don't know if you caught that. The Bible doesn't talk about lemonade. The Bible doesn't talk about lemons. It does talk about our attitude and that we need to humble ourselves before Him. Pursue Him in our faith. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. In all of this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith is greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor in Christ Jesus our Lord. The trials in our life are the same thing as when gold is refined. And it's worth more in our lives than gold that perishes, it says. Gold is refined and it perishes. But the faith that trials persevere in our life are way more important than the gold. The video talked about James chapter 1. And I think James chapter 1 verse 2 is the craziest verse that I've ever read. Can I say that about the Bible? James 1, 2 through 5. Consider it pure joy, my friends and my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. How crazy is that? How many of you, when you're going through a difficult time, say, I'm really happy about the time I'm in right now? Huh? Let's read on. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously and without finding fault, and will be given to you. We need to know that the trials in our life produce the faith that's going to get us through. There are some people that I have known in my life that have been one trial after another, and they are the most joyful people I know. I know some other people that have gone through a lot of trials in their life, and they're the most discontent, bitter people. Which one are you going to be? The one who chooses to be purified by gold, mature and complete, not lacking anything? I have used Isaiah chapter 40 to encourage many, many people. And so I'm going to read it for you, Isaiah 40, verse 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? I love the way he starts that. You're kind of expecting what's coming next. Haven't you heard that the Lord is the everlasting God? Now, I don't know about you, but I serve a God that isn't temporary. I serve a God that knows what's going to happen to me in the future. And I serve a God that knows what's going to happen to you in the future. I serve a God who knows what's going to happen to this church and who the next pastor is going to be and what's going to happen in Winter, South Dakota. I serve a God who knows when it's going to rain next, because He created all things, and He always was, and He is, and He will be forever. He's eternal. But when you're going through a very difficult time, you can only see what's in front of you. But if you know and understand who God is, it'll help you get through all of these difficult times. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not be faint. I'm going to pick on Margaret for just a second. She's rolling her eyes in the back of her head. Every time I mention this next verse, she goes, oh, no, not that one. right? Yeah. I would say that at least 50% of you have anxiety issues. Simply means you worry about things. Okay? I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. I have a cure for you. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. It's a great text. Hard to do. I'm going to ask for a raise of hand. How many struggle with anxiety? One? Two? Oh, come on. Really? Is that all? I got two hands up. Yeah. Listen to Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Do not be anxious about anything. This is talking about even before your first cup of coffee. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with grumbling, present your request to God. Huh? That's the way we do it, isn't it? We like to say, oh, Lord, I don't know. I got this situation at work. We like to grumble about the way we pray to the Lord. But that's not what he's saying here. Bring your petitions and prayers and concerns before the Lord with thanksgiving. Okay, if you do this, there's a cure for anxiety. If you can figure it out, the cure for anxiety. Because if you do that, the promise is in verse 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace. Okay, over half of you raised your hand after a little coaxing. When you have something going on in your life, and it's now bedtime, and you lay down and you put your head on the pillow. When you got something going on that's turmoil inside, what do you do when you put your head on the pillow? Somebody tell me. You think about what just happened that day or the week before, or you think about what you should have said or what you didn't say, right? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. That's just a big word. It means it's outside of our understanding. In the midst of a trial, you can still have peace, is what it's saying. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, listen to this. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Give your concerns to the Lord with thanksgiving. And then think about the positive things in your life. Are you in a dark time right now? Psalm 23. In closing. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Here it is, John 14, 1 through 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Why? You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's ready to leave this world, and he's telling his disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be there where I am. You know the place where I am going. I don't know if you know that much about Thomas. Doubting Thomas. He says, Lord, we don't even know where you're going, so how do we know the way? And Jesus says, listen very carefully. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Put your trust in Jesus. Hang on to the hope that we have only in Him. Amen. Have a great week.